Good morning. So those who watch on the internet, the reason why I'm dressed like this is because this is our picnic today. And it's also the day that my wife gave me permission to dress like this for the rest of the summer. So anyway, today we're going to start a series that I do about every 10 years, and it's called The Unity Way of Living. And it's going back to basics. What are the basic ideas of unity? How many people still have a hard time explaining when somebody says, tell me about that church you go to? All right, okay. And even though this is going to be basic unity principle, April always says I do basics on steroids. So it's going to be basic principles at a little advanced level. And this is a little bit longer than usual, so just hang in there with me as we go through this process. But, you know, normally when you think about your church, you might describe it as being, you know, warm and friendly and accepting place, and, you know, it's a place that everybody loves to come to. And the key here is, you know, that is what we are. And just a few people can't really make that kind of environment. It's everybody, all of us together. So when people talk about how wonderful, warm, and friendly Unity Center of Light is, it's because of all of us, you know, all the things that we do. But again, you know, the key here is we want to get past just saying that we're a warm, friendly, loving place and know how to answer questions like, you know, what is the spiritual journey called unity? What do we believe? Whose teachings do we follow? How many people can answer that question, whose teachings do we follow? Come on, let me see. Oh, see, I see this. Well, okay, all right. So, you know, Charles Fillmore, in the beginning of his books, many of his books, this is how he describes the unity experience. Unity is a link in the great educational movement inaugurated by Jesus Christ. Our objective is to discern the truth in Christianity and prove it. The truth that we teach is not new, neither do we claim special revelation or discovery of new religious principles. Our purpose is to help and teach mankind to use and prove the eternal truth taught by the Master. Okay? So, you know, the question, whose teachings do we follow, of course, are the teachings of Jesus Christ. It might be, you know, you might say, well, we follow Charles and Myrtle Fillmore. But Charles and Myrtle Fillmore followed Jesus Christ. So the foundation of unity principle is the teachings of Jesus Christ. Okay? And yes, we do engage other masters. But even in terms of engaging other masters, Paramahansa Yogananda says it always comes back to the teachings of Jesus. And that's interesting to have him say that because he follows the way of yoga, you know, and he's a yogi. But again, he, you know, I can't even think of the name. I have two books this thick of where he has interpreted Christian principles in alignment with Eastern philosophy. Matter of fact, I was reading about him last night. I'm very familiar with Paramahansa Yogananda, but I was reading about him. They were saying that, I forgot what time period, he became almost like a recluse because he wanted to spend time doing nothing but writing. And, you know, he was doing a lot of public speaking, but he spent the latter part of his years just writing. So, and, you know, how many people read the book Living Buddha, Living Christ, or seen it by Thich Nhat Hanh? Okay, Living Buddha, Living Christ. That's another good book you might want to buy, Thich Nhat Hanh. And it talks about the ideas of matching Christianity with other thought processes. So the answer to the question, what is this spiritual experience called unity, is unity is a link in the great educational movement inaugurated by Jesus Christ. This is a teaching ministry, okay? Sometimes when I do talks for family reunions, my Southern Baptist relatives will say, you know, he's a teacher, not a preacher. So this is a teaching ministry, and it is part of the educational movement designed and started by Jesus Christ. And its idea is to awaken us to the truth embedded within our own consciousness. So again, it's not so much teaching as it is an awakening experience, helping us to understand the own dynamics inside of ourselves. So therefore, it is our stance that the purpose of Jesus' life was to awaken us to the divinity within ourselves. And we profess that there is no God out there that is what? Not also in here, okay? Regardless of who the person is that we are talking about. Okay? And this is a, you know, this very thought requires a quantum leap in consciousness of from the average human thinking that's trapped within the mindset that everything must be right or wrong, good or evil. Okay? That's a quantum leap. Because the typical mindset says you have to categorize it as either good or it's not good. All right? It's evil or it's good. And this is a concept behind the idea. You say, well, how do I get to that point? How do I make this quantum leap? It's the idea behind the concept, be still until you come to know the presence of God. And that's a vital part of the whole unity process. Okay, so how do I respond in life? How do I live the unity way? That when you're not sure that you can perceive the Christ, your first step is to what? Just be still. Okay? Now, the difficulty in following the way of truth taught by Jesus is that even though an action or a person may be appear to be evil or, you know, doing things that are wrong, you can't allow your mind to get trapped into seeing and thinking that way to the exclusion of the intervention of the healing process within ourselves that will help us to move to another way of seeing. Because typically we see something and right away we judge it and that's it. Okay? So the idea is if I cannot get myself to evolve beyond that thinking, then I need to become still until I get the inspiration to see it differently. And I'm not saying that unity teaches that we become blind to wrong or evil, but I am saying that unity's mission is to provide us with a teaching that will heal us of being blind to the power and presence of God in all people and in all circumstances. Is everybody following it? You know, so when you're watching the news, you know, what did they say? CNN is constantly negative news, right? So when you're watching the news and you get caught up in that process, usually you walk away from that news with that's your mindset. Am I right? And then you go out into the world, you have discussions with everybody else, and boom, that's your mindset. You know, mulling around how you thought you think it should be different. But the key here is to get to a point where you can just be still and realize that there is a divine unfolding whether we can see it or not. That's the tough part. So all unity students, our work is to allow ourselves to become open spiritual vessels so when we find ourselves in negative situations, we will always have be ready to, and have a space that's created within us that would allow the Holy Spirit to pour some healing light and faith and love and joy on what's happening inside our minds. So anytime you find yourself struggling, you need to create that space where you just are being and allow the Holy Spirit to work with that thinking that's going on within you. Now, this is a how-to paragraph. Until we gain better understanding of the power of this work, it is best that we find ourselves, when we find ourselves in a negative, challenging situation, we need to practice having the strength and the courage to just be still and listen for guidance. Be still until you feel the light of God pour over your heart, mind, and soul. Be still until you can become open vessel through which the Holy Spirit can do a perfect work. So again, you want to do your thing? What did Jesus say? Not my will, but thine be done. So anytime you find yourself wanting to do your thing, that's when you want to practice just being still, waiting for that inspiration. Now, Charles Fillmore's statement, our purpose is to help and teach mankind to use and prove the eternal truths taught by the Master. When the people brought the adulteress to Jesus, they wanted him to judge her because they had already what? Judged her. We judged her. Now you need to judge her the way we judged her. Isn't that how we do it? All right? And what did Jesus do? He knelt down and he doodled in the sand. He was silent so that he could hear how he was supposed to be used in this particular situation. Did everybody follow that? All right? And he was silent so that he could hear the words that he was to say, the actions he was to do, and how he was going to be guided to heal and diffuse this situation as opposed to just adding his negative energy to it. Okay? So this is the unity way of living. To live the unity way, you must be willing to learn the principles and practices taught by Jesus and then practice living these principles. So much of what I'm reading lately is saying that we're all really good at gaining knowledge, right? We're all good at then telling somebody how they should be based on the knowledge we have. But the key is, are we practicing that which we are learning? All right? It's not enough to just know the principles taught by the master. The unity way of living is having the courage and the faith to live the principles taught by the master and prove them in the circumstances you find yourself in your life. Now, another aspect of this unity way of living is the idea that we all are one in God. Often unity is referred to as being non-denominational. I don't know how many times you might have said that. Oh, somebody, what denomination? Oh, we're non-denominational. Okay. Well, the definition of denomination is a large group of religious congregations united under a common faith and name and organized under a single administration or legal hierarchy. Right? That's an administration. Now, for most churches, what that means is the church itself can't do anything unless the hierarchy says that they can do it. Okay? Now, in actuality, unity is a large group of religious congregations united under a common faith and name. However, it was the intention of the Fillmores to not create a religion imprisoned in dogma and creed, which would stifle individuals from discovering their own indwelling divine potential. So a lot of the religious organizations we came from said, this is what you could believe, and that's all you can believe. All right? Unity is more about trying to stimulate and cause to percolate up inside of us the divinity that we already have within us, all right, as opposed to telling us, you know, how we should be thinking. So inside the structure of unity, there still exists the original idea of the Fillmores, that being to provide a place of prayer, learning, and self-discovery, a place where the individual seeking the truth is free to question and explore the reality of God within the depths of their own being without being hog-tied to religious dogma. And remember, I'm telling you, I have a new friend, a Jesuit, and he and I were talking. And, you know, I consider Jesuits to be, you know, very highly evolved teachers. And you know, we both agreed on the fact that at the core of all religions is mysticism. But once you surround it with dogma and creed, then it becomes a whole different animal. Okay? So unity's idea is to try not to encapsulate the natural divinity that exists inside of us, but yet stimulate us to discover it for ourselves. Does that make sense? Okay. So in the definition of dogma is a doctrine or a collection of doctrines relating to matters such as morality and faith set forth in an authoritative manner by the church. Dogma is authoritative principle, belief, or statements of ideas, opinions, especially considered to be unarguable truth. Okay, now, the Fillmores, their thing, philosophy, was not intended to dictate certain teachings as being absolute truth, but rather to create an environment that inspired spiritual exploration. In other words, so the thing here is that, you know, if you want to go out and study a little bit about Buddhism or Hindu or some of the other great mystics, use that as part of your path to wake yourself up, okay? And he said in the opening, our objective is to discern the truth in Christianity and prove it. Okay. Now, we discern truth through contemplation and meditation. Okay. In the studies I'm doing on St. John of the Cross and Dark Night of the Soul, and also the cloud of unknowing and the cloud of forgetting, and in those studies, contemplation is the key element in those things. Contemplating these ideas. So when you hear an idea, it's sort of you saying, oh, yeah, that's it. You don't say that's it. You merely take it in and just kind of be with it. Yeah, let it sort of just, you know, marinate inside of you, so to speak. So, you know, as our consciousness evolves, so does our understanding. So when you hear something, you go, I have no idea what that's about. But if you let it marinate inside of you, over time, you get glimpses of what it's trying to tell you. Is that making sense? Okay. So now as we, you know, get better understanding of truth, we gain more courage to live from the truth, thus proving what is true in the teachings of Jesus by the way we live our lives. Okay. Now, I must confess that in unity, we do have sort of a creed. A creed is defined as a formal statement of religious beliefs. Anybody know what our creed is? There is only one power and one presence in the universe, God the good omnipotent, And likewise, there's only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the good omnipotent. So if somebody said to you, well, what is the creed of unity? You can share that idea. Okay? All right? And remember, as you share ideas, just share them. Right? As my friend would say, is this a conversation or a conversion? You know, you just want to share the idea. Okay? So in unity, we do not deny that there is evil in the world, but it is our practice to deny evil from having any power over us. Okay? And that's in all situations, whether it's, you know, what the government is doing that you don't like, okay, or the news, some pharmaceutical company says we're entering into flu season and you're going to get it, you know, whatever it might be, any of those things, you don't want to give them what? Power over you, okay? So, yes, there are certain things occurring in the world and in our lives that from a human definition is evil. But our quest in the study of the teachings of Jesus is to gain the presence of mind to realize that what appears to be against us in reality has no power over us. Everybody catch that? All right? So, and that's, you know, that's one, again, one of the precepts of unity. It can be very difficult to practice. You know, you hear something, you go, well, how can I say that's not going against me? All right? So you want to be able to get to the mindset of knowing that, yes, it's not what you like, but don't feel like it's got power over you. That's a really hard thing to practice. Easy to intellectually to understand, but a whole other thing to practice. Okay, so Jesus said it is within us to confront evil and overcome it, but he did not say it would be easy. It's recorded in Luke 18:31. Jesus says, it is written by prophets about the Son of Man, that he will be handed over to the mob. They will mock him, insult him, spit on him, flog him, and kill him. But on the third day, he will rise again. That's a whole nother talk. But you get what I'm saying? He's saying no matter what people do to you, you can rise up from that. All right? Now, if every one of us had a chance to tell a story, everybody in here could tell a story about how you've been crucified and you rose up again. Am I right? Okay, so this is referring, and when he says, you know, the mob will get him, he always got to remember, the mob is the mob of thoughts within our own mind that criticize the Christ-like thoughts within us that are striving to bring peace and compassion and love and gentleness to us. So you're saying to us, okay, well, in this situation, okay, I have to practice being different than I normally am. You know, I want to come from a spiritual space. But then the mob of thoughts grab you, right? And they start beating the mess out of, that's what you're trying to do. That's what he's referring to. You know, so it's not just about, you know, Jesus overcame it. We're overcoming it all the time when these mob of thoughts in our heads are trying to make us do something different. So there are many things in our lives we worry about. And there are things that, listen to me, kill our peace and destroy the life of our joy. But this is how Jesus responded to that in John 10:17. He said, for this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. That charge I received from my Father. So the fact that Jesus received it from God, the power to do that, means that what? Every single one of us has the power to do that. Now, unity teaches that we are to deny the negative situations of people from having power over us and instead affirm the power and presence of the Holy Spirit always working in our life and affairs, right? Again, stuff happens. Your ego or right or wrong is going to respond to that stuff. But it's to come back to the fact to understand, even though I don't understand how, I know the Holy Spirit is working for the highest good of everybody involved here, okay? And knowing that thought. So Jesus was teaching us that, in truth, no one takes our peace from us. No one takes our joy from us. Only we have the power to lay it down and the power to take it up again. So whenever you catch yourself saying, he made me mad or she made me mad or that's making me angry or whatever, you just laid your power down. But when you get the presence of mind to understand what you just did, you can take it back up again. You got it? Yeah? All right? You have that power. Nobody does it to you. You make the decision to do it to yourself. Okay? And another part of the unity way of teaching is that there is a cohesiveness and interconnectedness that binds all of us together as one consciousness seeking one experience. The entire planet, everybody is bound in one conscious seeking one experience, and that is to awaken to the truth that we are the Christ, that I am the Christ. Most of us don't know that, all right? But that's the whole mission for being here, is to awaken to the truth of who we really are, okay? And Jesus confirmed our oneness under one God, one Father God, in Matthew 6:9, when he instructed us in what has come to be known as the Lord's Prayer. He said, pray in this manner. Say it with our Father. He could have said, my Father. But then that would not have, that's why he said, pray in this manner. You know, and typically when you talk to like my brother-in-law who's Jehovah's Witness and sister-in-law, they'll say, which I understand in studying, he didn't say to pray this prayer exactly like I'm giving it to you. He said, pray in this manner. It's a template. So when you go to Unity Village and take the prayer class, they will make you write your own version of it. Interpret it, you know, using those words or that template to create the idea for yourself, okay? But the key here in terms of this oneness that we have is Jesus using the idea of our Father when he, you know, talking about God. So our Father means we are truly brothers and sisters regardless of the color of our skin, our nationality, our sex, differences in our socioeconomic status. We are all one in the divine consciousness that we call God, okay? Unity principle. So, however, as wonderful as that may sound, we cannot seem to break free of the belief that we're separate and disconnected and without complicity in what is happening in the world. So when you look at the news and you go, oh, that's terrible, okay? But you're sitting back saying, but I have no complicity in that. That's him and them and those that's doing that got nothing to do with me. If you're putting negative energy out there, as I shared with you before, somebody is picking that negative energy up. It's like the thing with a simple straw. You know, you go to McDonald's or wherever and you get a drink and it's got a straw in it, and you take that straw and you throw it away. You say, well, I'm just throwing away one straw. But you know the problem the straws are creating in the world, right? What is it? The whales are choking on them and all this. So now they are moving, they're talking about moving back to paper straws, which how many people remember paper straws? Right, so that's sort of the idea. Yeah, that one straw, you're complicit in hurting the ecosystem. So that one negative thought you put out, you're complicit in the negativity in the world. Does that make you get the process? Because there is only one mind, and all those thoughts are in there. Now you will say, "Well, I would never do that." You wouldn't do it, but the fact you put that idea out there, there are people whose superego is not strong enough to keep them from doing it. So that's why the idea of contemplation, you always want to be putting out those positive thoughts. So the unity way of living is very familiar, very similar to the to Buddhism, that being to reach a state of consciousness where the Christ in me beholds the Christ in you, okay? To behold anything other than the Christ within ourselves and within each other is in opposition to the unity way of living. Everybody catch that? That's back to Maya Angelou, who said, you know, you're a Christian already. I've been working all my life, and I haven't really reached the whole idea of Christianity yet. So it's that same concept, okay? And again, this unity way is in opposition to the spiritual path that Jesus Christ laid out. Now, it's recorded in John 17:21 that Jesus said that they all may be one, even as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. So Jesus is saying, I'm in the Father, and the Father is in me. And Jesus also said, if it's true for me, then it's what? It's true for you. So when Jesus said that they may all be one, what he's referring to is our coming into a realization that we are one in Christ. And when Jesus said, even as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, here he acknowledged that his personality was in direct communication with his indwelling Christ, and by it, by that personality idea of being in direct communication, he could recognize his oneness in spirit. Now, we just went through the whole series on Dr. Carl Jung's archetypes. And in one of the studies, it says the ego's purpose is to whole the soul. Okay? But it's just for it to whole the soul and then respond to the, ask the soul, what is my mission? You get me? Not for the ego to say, what soul? No, this is all about me. You get it? So the personality has a purpose. The ego has a purpose. But the purpose is to whole the soul. And as Carl Jung says, to whole the higher self, which we would call the Christ. So this persona that we have on is not the whole deal. Okay? So for me, the true essence of unity experience is embedded in a realization in John 10:30. When Jesus said, I and the Father are one. Again, we express this as there is only one power and one presence, say it with me, active in my life and affairs, God the good, omnipotent. So to experience unity is to experience a sense of oneness with this universal cosmic idea that we call God. Okay. Now, believe me, I know how difficult that is. The reason it is so difficult is that we each have a series, you've heard me say this before, of I identities. Each aligned with a different aspect of our personality, each designed to perform a specific task in the life that we created. Our spiritual goal is to simply wait a minute before we put on a mask, an identity, wait a minute to see what the God of our being might need us to be in the moment. So you got all these masks, right? And stuff happens. You go, well, I need this one. And I need this one, right? Well, the spiritual process is to wait a minute before you put on a mask, a persona. Remember I said P-E-R, a mask through which you make a sound, right? So some things come up in your life. Before you grab one of those masks, just be. Because God may need you to do something very specific in this moment. God always needs us to be something specific in this moment. And typically the mask we grab then fit what we're supposed to be doing. Does that make sense? Does that make practical sense? Okay. So just when stuff happens, you wait a minute. Yeah, say it to your ego, wait a minute. Right? Before I grab that mask and act out this role I normally act out. So, again, be like Jesus. Go down and doodle in the sand. Or today, just doodle on your iPad. Right? What are you doing? I'm just doodling until I figure out what I'm supposed to be here. Okay. So our goal is to learn how to embrace and live from one mind, one identity with the Christ within us. Yes, we will still have a personality, but it will become the conduit for a loving God to express through. Okay? The purpose of the ego is not to be the leading force. It is only to be the mask so that I know who I'm talking to at the time, but behind that mask, who I know, what I really know is going on, is the Christ. Okay? So unity's quest is not to teach what God is, rather it is to help each of us to discover what God is from the depths of our own being. And everybody in this room, even right now, as unity people who have been coming here for a long time, we have our own inner version of what God is. All right, right? Okay? And for many of us, it's so much easier to have a church tell us what to believe than to allow us to discover the truth from within ourselves. You hear what I just said? It is so much easier when the church said, what do you, well, the church told me, it's like your mother told you or your father told you. Well, my mother told me this is what to do. Okay? But in unity, we're not telling you. You'll hear me say it in a whole variety of different ways. You know, when I do get to this whole idea of the cloud of unknowing and the cloud of forgetting, that's going to be a whole other perspective for us to try to understand what this idea of God really is. So it's an unfolding, constantly unfolding process, okay? So unity can be viewed as a church that guides you to discover the truth rather than a church that dictates the truth to you. Unity is a church that builds the true church within the heart, mind, and soul of the individual who attends. Unity is a church built on the divinity within the individual rather than the building attended every single week. It's a lifestyle, okay? It's a way of being. As Morris Abel said, The one who builds a church within his heart and takes it with him everywhere is holier by far than he whose church is but a one-day house of prayer. Okay? So it's got to be an all-the-time process for you. And it's written in Metaphysical Bible Dictionary that Charles Fillmore said, the true church is not an outer sect or religious denomination. First of all, it's an aggregation of spiritual ideas and the consciousness of the individual. To establish the church of God is to establish within ourselves a new state of consciousness. Right? So every time you hear something, go, oh, I just got it. You just elevated the church inside yourself. Okay? Because you can hear it and hear it and hear it. But how many people have had that where all of a sudden you got it? You know, just a small piece, but you got it. You just elevated the church inside yourself. So as you travel the unity way of living, remember to let go, be still, affirm the truth, deny the power of evil, and continue to build the church of Christ within yourself, in your body, your mind, your heart, your spirit, and listen, really listen, so you can hear the truth that's rising up from within you. Amen.